Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man where Lenny has Squiggy, he has Smokestack, like peanut butter and chocolate, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
3, 2, 1, live.
In the quarantine zone, the lockdown, whatever you want to call it. What day is it? P-Dope, I don't even know. I'm just going to say
it's good morning. Blur's day.
It's oblivious day. I'm oblivious to the day or the time. But we're going to say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thanks for joining the dopest podcast and the dopest producer on the market. PW, I know you got a lot of offers. You can't leave me. You know, I'll have my people match whatever offers you get in free agency. Don't leave us.
We don't want to break up the magic of this marriage.
Yeah, right. This whole podcast thing, people, is P-Double's idea. It's like branched off the Stack with Nat show. You guys, if you remember All in the Family with Archie Bunker and Edith, yeah, and their neighbors was George and Wheezy Jefferson.
Right, the Jeffersons was a branch.
The Jefferson was a branch off show of All in the Family. It was probably a little more popular. So the podcast is a branch off of the Stack with Nat show that P-Double used to watch. Was YouTube mostly the Stack with Nat.
Right.
This is a podcast. So P-Double came to me with the offer. Of course, I was very, very, very nervous. He said, man, you could do it. I still have my doubts, but.
No, it's great.
He keeps calling me, so we keep going.
I mean, anybody that thinks this is easy to do, it's not easy to do, first of all. And not everybody can do it, to be engaging and have people just listen to you talk, you know,
right,
about whatever. But some people have it, and you're one of those people. And so,
that's just going to cost me another $100 right there. I got it. Okay.
But, I enjoy it for sure. And I'm sure a lot of people that listen, all our faithful listeners, like the Hulk and, you know,
Jamie.
And, you know, everybody in like
the Fisher.
Yeah, the Fishers. And
the Fishers.
And those people that we don't even know are listening, you know.
Yeah, leave a comment and we'll give it a shout out.
Yeah. It's a good time to, you know, I think people are catching up on podcasts right now for sure.
Right.
You know, I've seen a lot of people like on Facebook asking, hey, anybody got any podcasts to listen to?
Yeah. they done went through full seasons of shows, episode.
Got to the end of Netflix and now you need something else.
Yeah. Right, I ended Netflix. What's next? What's the next level of this quarantine? Well, I thought we were getting to the light at the end of the tunnel, but it was like another train. It's just, yeah, I guess it's going to get a little more, it's going to get a little worse before it gets better again.
Well, this is what I've heard, that for about a week, maybe 10 days from now, it's going to get really bad. So, tighten up your seatbelt, put on your chin strap.
Tie your boots all the way up and keep your dust mask on.
Right. And then from there, then it'll start heading back down. The number of cases and the people getting, you know, and then after that, then we can think about getting off this quarantine. But I mean, that's putting us into May, you know,
right?
Middle of April, May ish. So, well, and that's when the NBA playoffs start.
Sports is, I mean, that's almost like the last thing on my mind.
I'm surprised at how badly I miss it. I mean, man, I miss it a lot.
Yeah, I really don't.
I think everybody's different, but.
They are. Well, my fix has been like YouTube. I've been putting on,
right,
you know, things to like a. Yesterday I watched Georgetown versus UNLV, the 91 tournament.
Yeah, how was that game? Who won?
Well, UNLV won. Right. Yeah, you got to look at it like you don't even remember it. But, I mean, it's kind of cool seeing them dudes back in college and stuff. Larry Johnson, Lonzo Mourning.
Larry Johnson, I always liked him as a player. But when he went to the Knicks, he got, like, so soft. Do you remember that?
I wouldn't say soft. I guess he started having back problems, and he wasn't as a force inside.
He had a great shot. Yeah, he got a great.
But yeah, he started picking his game past the 3-point line.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest plays in like NBA playoff history was the 4-point play.
Oh yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah, Larry Johnson. Yeah.
The Larry Johnson. He hit it against the Heat. Okay. I think
was it
the Heat. I think it was the Heat. Yeah, he was going against Pat Riley was the coach of the Heat, and he had Mourning and he had Tim Hardaway and all them guys, and the Knicks had Jeff Van Gundy as their coach, and they had Allen Houston, and Larry Johnson hits the four. He hits the three, gets fouled, hits the free throw, and they go on to beat the Heat in that series. It was crazy. But now that, you just gave me one, P-Double. I might put that game on.
Yeah, you can watch. Yeah.
YouTube has everything. It's great.
I mean,
just watch a whole game. 80s and 90s college basketball, especially the 90s, love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I also watch Michigan State with Steve Smith versus Georgia Tech with Lethal Weapon 3. They had Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, and Dennis Scott. So, yeah. I mean, it's some, oh, man, great. So
yeah, maybe I'll have to go spend some time.
Yeah, you got
to. Yeah, spend some time doing that because I miss it, you know. I miss just, I mean, I'm reading about the trades in the NFL and the free agent signings.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, obsessively. Like, you know, like I know every little detail because there's nothing else going on. You know?
Well, the thing is, where's Cam going, you know?
Yeah.
Jacksonville, I think, might be his landing spot, the Jags.
Really?
I think. Yeah, Jacksonville. I think he might go to Patriots. Patriots don't have any money, but
right.
I think they could pull it. This thing should be long over by the time NFL kicks around. So
yeah, I hope so. Because if it's not,
oh, it's going to get nuts.
Yeah,
what's that word? Anarchy. It's going to get a little.
Yep, you're going to have a revolution. Have people buy, you know, they're going to start using all those bullets and guns they bought.
Yeah, they all trying to line. They was lining up at the gun store before this thing, the quarantine hit.
Hey, not too long ago, I saw you at the gun range.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How was that? Was that fun?
Oh yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Always go. I usually try to go once a week. Keep the skills sharp. You know.
Uh-huh.
Triple threat quarterback, gun range, all the same. This is. It's all routine. You know, it's routine.
Oh, nice.
If the revolution starts, go to Roger Fisher's house.
Yeah. If you're friendly with Roger, go to his house. If you're not, stay clear.
Stay clear, right. Or Pat Morris. He's another.
Oh, really?
Gun nut. Yeah, yeah. Pat Morris. Yeah, he's out there. Those are two places you want to run to for safety.
Huh.
But like I say, this thing is getting bad. I heard the story about the New York nurses. They like got crazy money coming out of New York.
So New York's a hot spot. It's like where this thing's really getting bad.
Bad.
Hospitals are overflowing and they need help, right?
Yes. They got the story I'm hearing is $100 an hour.
Man.
That's
I never ever wanted to be a nurse until just now.
So right now, I'm gonna do my online course thing.
Get my correspondence courses.
Yeah, they expediting the training, everything. They pulling people out of retirement.
Man.
All the coming. What I think that's just everywhere. They're bringing out retired nurses.
That's almost as much as you make.
Yeah, right. That's, stop it. I mean, if I had that kind of money, I would have my walk-in closet. I have a house with a walk-in closet. It would be done, that kind of money.
Man.
Still ain't got it. I want to have, like, walk-in closets with lights in them. You know, when you open the door, the light come on in the closet.
Right.
I want to have outlets out the ass. You know, in the house, there's just outlets everywhere. There's no shortage of outlets. That's another thing. Master bedroom. I mean, master bathroom. Mm-hmm. The bathroom right in the, you know, in the bedroom with the his and her sinks. Yeah. That's if I was pulling that $100 hour New York nursery right there. I would just go there with a sleeping bag and a toothbrush and be like, I ain't clocking out. I ain't clocking out. I'm staying. I got my mask on. I got my rubber gloves and my Lysol. Come on, COVID-19. Give me your best shot. Bring it on, because I could take it. Like that was some Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah? That's all. Yeah, a great show. You know, I tried to look for Johnny Dangerously yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. I couldn't find it, on Amazon or Netflix. Couldn't find it. They didn't have it, so.
You farking bastards.
You farking isos. You farking isos.
Yeah, right.
You summon a bitch.
The grapevine. Johnny's mom is something playing at the Roxy, at the Savoy. The grapevine in prison. Everybody went down, everybody changed the story. That's a classic. Then it gets to Johnny, and he says, so-and-so's going to kill my mom at the Savoy. And the guy says, I didn't say that. He said, but I know this grapevine.
Yeah, he got it all twisted, but by the time he knew how to read it.
The first guy got it right, and it goes through all the prisoners. It gets down to Michael Keaton, and the guy says something else, and he repeats the original, what it was supposed to have been said. Yeah. I said, I didn't say that. Yeah, but I know this grapevine.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that thing, that's kind of scary. You know, they got all these nurses coming out of retirement. You think they're going to be up to the task?
You get like old school nurses with a tourniquet and a little piece of popsicle stick.
Yeah, man, it's like it would be like say if Catholic school, for instance, was going downhill or something, they bring back the old nuns to be the teachers again.
With their rulers,
their rulers and spanking people, you know.
Yeah,
these nurses, yeah, they got it. Old. He said, I like it. Right? Who am I to stack when that show girl's giving you a spanking every once in a while? It don't look like that though, that's for sure. But you alluded to the hot spot was New York. But your town is in that list too, Peter Hubble. Detroit, I heard New Orleans, and then Indianapolis, all hot spots for the Rona.
For that Rona.
That Rona. I mean, it don't mean to laugh. I mean, people dying, but it's getting crazy, huh?
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily just people dying, but there's a lot of things that are impacted. Obviously, like the economy is terrible.
Yeah, that's big.
People are stressing out about that. People are just, you know, if you get it and just get sick, that sucks.
Right.
But you know, just and then all the resources that are taken for that. Yeah, I mean, it sucks in a lot of ways, you know, like if you're a senior in high school and
you're missing prom
and all that, you know, sports, none of that's happening.
How about all them young kids, you know what I mean, with their girlfriends and stuff? They got blue balls right about now. Parents don't let you out to go
see. So my 16-year-old daughter, she's got a boyfriend. And, you know, most dads, I think, if their 16-year-old daughter has a boyfriend, they don't really like the kid.
Right.
But this kid is like, he's got like he's got a perfect grade point average. He's going to go to like the University of Michigan. He's already planning on going to the University of Michigan. I'm like, stick with this kid. This is a perfect, this is a perfect situation, really.
Right.
She's got a great boyfriend, but she can't see him. I like it. You know what I mean?
Right. And nobody can see nobody. I mean, you're older. I guess, I mean, some people more hornier than others or get with kids. I mean, I feel bad for them. Living at home, you know, you got their license. They just dying to say, you know, Mom, I got to go. I'll go to the market. You know, I'll go to the market and get the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get out. And then they call their girlfriend. See if your dad lets you go to the market.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We could just make out in the car in the parking lot.
Stop it.
Poor kids. All right, we're going to get by. But yeah, like you say, everything is impacted.
Yeah.
But you know what? Don't pay it. Hell, if I get there, I ain't paying nothing. Car note, mortgage, credit card, I ain't paying nothing.
It's on hold.
It's on hold, right. The world is in crisis. I'll pay it when I get back.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
These airline tickets is dirt cheap. I could fly to Rome right now for the same money of driving to Atlantic City, which is like an hour away. It's crazy.
Wow.
So airlines dropping these prices.
Can you get your tickets for like in June or July or something like
that? They back up higher. They hiring. It's like,
so you got to fly now.
You got to fly now. Right, dirt now.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go? Right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. These airlines are full of shit, okay? Because it's price gouging then. Because how can you have it so cheap and so such a big discrepancy in the price? You wanted to fly now, you could fly to Hawaii for like $50, $100 round trip. It's crazy. You can fly from Philly to Hawaii for like $200 a person.
Really? You can't. Yeah, you don't have anywhere to stay when you get there, but I might just make a day trip out of it.
Just get off.
I've always wanted to go there.
Well, they have the quarantine thing. When you get there, it's like a 14-day quarantine. Uh-huh. So you better not. You just better book one way. So when you get there, they can put you in quarantine for 14 days, and then you can go to your hotel. And then I guess you really got to stay in from there. I don't know.
Wow.
But yeah, I've been to Hawaii before. It was nice. That was for a Pro Bowl. They don't have a Pro Bowl there no more.
Yeah.
Though, so.
Yeah.
Ain't really. I think the Pro Bowl was their big thing at New Year's. I went out there. That's what the Pro Bowl and the two biggest times was the Pro Bowl and the New Year's celebration in Hawaii.
Wow.
So.
In Hawaii, wow, that'd be awesome.
In Hawaii, Honolulu. So. So, everywhere though. I just use Hawaii as an example. You can fly anywhere, it's cheap. I can fly to Michigan, $30.
Huh.
Come pick me up. We'll do the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll do it in person.
From the man cave. Right. We'll break the social distancing rules. Hmm. Well, another thing, P Double, coming out of this thing is this, you know, your president, Donald Trump, is, he's, did he sign off on this check, this stimulus, $1,200 or $1,000?
Yeah, I think it's coming.
Coming, right?
Yeah. What so I see. You got something lined up for yours? Besides plane tickets. I'm gonna spend mine on Pornhub.
I'm not even counting it because that's how you get disappointed. Watch anyway. I'm just hearing about this check, so I'm like, well, if it comes, it comes. If it don't. You know,
I got my Pornhub cart all filled up.
Right. You're going to get the gold package. That check has you want to get the Pornhub Platinum. That's live one-on-ones with any actress you desire, you know. But I seen on the internet, some people said, you know, screw the $1,200. How about giving everybody a 750 credit score?
That's an interesting idea. That's an interesting idea, right?
Now, I mean, not for me because my credit score isn't all banged up anyway. So, I mean, I would take the money. So, I mean, I'm not one of them people with a 500. I mean, I'm not. Oh, 750 ain't that bad. What's perfect is like 800.
I don't really know, but yeah.
Yeah. Mine's got to be.
I don't even know what mine is, but I assume it's not bad at this point.
Yeah, mine's got to be in the 700. So that wouldn't be appealing to me, but to you though, you saying that you like that idea. There's a lot of people with banged up credit, and
my wife says I'm a socialist or a communist, but here's my thing, and I know a lot of people disagree, especially good old red-blooded Americans, but if you give money to people that are on the lower end of the economic spectrum, they're going to take that money and spend it.
Right.
And that's what we need, is people to spend. Why put the money into the economy? Like, if I get it, we're just going to save it. You know?
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, we're not going to go, oh, I'm going to go out and spend it on, you know, this or that. A lot of people are probably going to catch up on their bills or buy something that they've been needing or wanting. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And so, for me, personally, I think if you can direct that money towards the lower income people that need it, then that's the best, you're going to get the best bang for your buck. If you give it to some corporation, they're just going to save it or buy back stock, or, you know what I mean? They're not going to, it's not going to go back into the economy. I'm sure a lot of the smarter people than me could, like, I'm sure Jen could destroy what I'm saying right now. But that's just my little brain, you know, what I think of it. But,
well, I would spend it on something. And then I would be like, this was my, I'll buy a watch. I don't know.
Right.
Something big and gaudy that I'll have. that I'll remember.
COVID-19 watch.
This is my COVID-19
watch. That Rona watch.
Right, the Rona. Is that a Rolex? No, it's a Rona. I would buy a pair of sunglasses, something like that with it. So uh-huh. It would go, it would get spent.
Right.
Just like that, you know.
Go right back into the economy.
Yeah,
get things moving. Get things moving. That's what I think it's, you know, that's what that stimulus is about. But I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I'll be in the Louis Vuitton store. I'll get a hat and a scarf. That'd be my $1,200 right there.
You can spend that much in a hat and a scarf?
Oh, yeah. Louis Vuitton, easily. Yeah.
Huh.
And maybe maybe a wallet. Maybe you might get a wallet. A Louis wallet, that's probably like $300-$400.
Wow.
A hat is about $200. And a scarf is about $270. Maybe more.
Man, so I spent $15.99 on my wallet. And I bought that about 13 years ago. Look at this beat up old wallet.
What? Listen, right. There you go, Mr. National. Look at that. Can you see that one? See the? Oh, yeah. No. Hold on. I got to show you the thing.
Actual cash in yours. Oh, and it's got like a little.
See it? Can you
see it? What does it say on it?
That's San Francisco.
Oh, nice.
That's
$49. All right, yeah.
Wait a while. Wow. And this is old cheap $20 leather wallet, but this, and I have a Gucci. I have a $300 or $400 Gucci wallet. I have a expensive Coach wallet. I got all that stuff. I don't like them wallets. I like this.
You
one.
Like your old 49ers standby? Yep.
This is the one.
It feels good in the back pocket.
It feels good, right? Those other ones a little bald. This is the second one I bought too. This is the second one. The other one got all beat up. It's not that good of a wallet. Like, and the lining comes apart, and it's fine. And I have those other expensive ones, and I don't use them that much. So, so there you have it. You know, you had to buy the expensive stuff and don't even use it. I like this old $20 leather wallet. But yeah, my stimulus check would go to something big and gaudy, Louis store. I'm going to Louis Vuitton store. So what would you would say you like the 750, you like the 750 credit score. So here's the question: when we put this thing up, when once P double, you know, once it's posted, please comment.
Yeah, do
you want the $1,200 check or the 750 credit score? What would be in your best?
When you get say your credit score is 500 right now.
Oh, you need a 750. Yeah,
boom, your credit score is 750. Or whatever. What does that change then?
That changes your interest rate on everything.
So you go to buy a car.
Okay.
You can go
get
a car loan for much
cheaper. Everything. Much cheaper. You're going from like a high risk paying 20%, something outrageous.
That pays off then a lot longer. Because $1,200 is not going to last very long.
I just told you it's going to go in the Louis store on three or four items, right? Yeah. I mean, you can get.
But I've
seen a Louis fanny pack is $1,200. So you can get a fanny bag for 1200. Dude, I went when it was in Paris, I went in the Louis store. They got a Louis store that's five stories. Packed. It was packed in there.
Wow. Packed. A fanny pack. Nobody can't even wear it. I think The Rock wears a fanny pack. He can wear a fanny pack just because he's The Rock.
Only for a woman to wear the fanny pack.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I was just giving
you. So you don't get a pack.
It's basically a fanny pack with the Louis Vuitton design on it, and it's $1,400, $1,200.
Wow.
They have a Louis backpack, like a backpack, mm-hmm. like a book bag.
Yeah.
$3,000.
Sell that shit?
What? Hell yeah. Oh
my God.
Listen, I'll tell you a quick story. We was at the, went to a Niners game. I was with my Niners peoples, right? I think it was in San Fran when they played the Cowboys maybe a couple years ago. Zeke and uh-huh. was the first year that, your quarterback started playing.
Yeah,
you know,
Prescott.
You took over.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prescott. So, it was after the game, we walking around Levi's Stadium and stuff, and it's like a group of us, maybe four of us, and I see a little thin, skinny dude talking to this girl, and he's got a Louis book bag, a backpack. I said, yo, I was like, everybody walked right by him. I said, that's one of the players right there. And they said, nah, that ain't no player. I mean, it's like a little skinny kid. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm telling you, that's a player. How you know? You recognize him? I said, no, but he got a Louis backpack on. I know I must say, I was like, only people with that got serious bankroll.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they were kind of like scared to go over. They saw like an older guy kind of close to him. And one of my buddies walked over and was like, hey, is that a football player? And the guy said, yeah, that's my nephew. That's Mario Manningham.
Yeah. Wow.
So my buddy goes over to Mario. The uncle was like, gave him the head nod. He came over and he just shook his hand. He was talking to this girl and he was like, I tell you what, he's like, I'm about to bounce. He was like, you can have this. He puts a lanyard around my buddy's neck. It's like an ID thing.
Uh-huh.
He said, he's like, go in the back. You can just go inside the thing in the gate and meet all the players. He was like, for real? He was like, just show him this tag. You can go in. So my buddy comes over to us. He's like, Mario gave me his tag. I was like, damn. He said, I can go in there. I was like, yeah, with all the friends. So what happens, the players come out of the stadium from getting showered and changed.
Right.
It's like a gated off area with security.
Right.
And everybody, family and friends are back there.
Right.
You saw Staley. You saw everybody. Wow. So my buddy goes back there. He's back there with all the Niners, and he has hats. So everybody in our group is throwing his hat. Get so-and-so to sign this. Get Navarro Bowman. Get Pat Willis to sign this. So he's beat Frank Gore.
Wow.
That was funny.
That's
just
amazing.
Like that. Yeah, right. From a Louis bag.
Yeah, from the Louis bag. You got to recognize.
Yeah, you got to recognize. Louis backpack. So
that's an awesome story.
Listen, I got one more, Pete. Take our little identification break. You know, want to thank Get Down. We got to thank Get Down T-shirt.
Check out Get.Down.
There you go. And we're going to get down with this another story before we get into some TOC news. We got another story. Want to give a shout-out to Head Shark Razors, headshark.com. That's on our website, stackwithnatshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
My boy John Lyles. We got to get him on here.
Mm-hmm.
Kit Kitchen, want to thank him.
Toe Pro Football.
Toe Pro Football.
The
Fishers.
Official rules.
The. Ain't that football? So, Kit, we want to thank the Fishers, Gridiron Buzz Network.
What about crackinplastic.com and the Crack and Plastic magazine?
Dude, that goes without saying. PW, you took a big burden on your hands with that thing, bro. I mean, the tweak is old school. We had the tweak back in the day. That was like the brainchild of the MFC when it first came out. And Wolf, Matt Colt, and Ravina Al, and myself. My guys put a lot of work into that. That was, it got to the point where it was just too much. So
yeah, that's a lot of work.
There's a lot of work. So PW, you are the man with Crack and Plastic. I want to thank you for your time that you put in with that, and just all the EF coaches. They still getting. I saw Brian Phillips. He's still playing. I don't know who he's playing with, but he's still put live videos.
Yeah, those live games are breaking the rules.
Yeah, how many people is in there? I'm gonna have to get him arrested. You know, Mr. Nobody about to become.
Be quiet, man! I watch those games.
I'm gonna be Mr. National. I'm gonna be the whistleblower.
don't be a snitch.
I'll be a whistleblower.
I'll be a whistleblower.
No, all right, so we got the TLC coming, but here's a good story we got. Talking about MFCA. This is when MFCA was held the same weekend of the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend, where the athletes got enshrined, all the older players were there, the NFL guys, Bobby Bell, all of them, Marcus Allen, all the guys that was in, it's their reunion.
Right.
So it was after the MFCA convention, I want to say 2012 it might have been, or 2013 or whatever. So after the convention is kind of over, I go back to John Martin's house. Lives in, I think John lives in Dover, Ohio. He's got a beautiful neighborhood, beautiful house. I always tease him when I come over to hang with him and we drive around. He shows me drives around the neighborhood and everything. Mm-hmm. And you see kids in the playground. You see the pool. We go in stores. We just go everywhere. And I'll be like, John, where are the black people at? where do you keep them at? So he chuckles.
Can we drive by there?
Yeah, can I see somebody? I'm telling everybody looking at me like, where is – he was like, tell you the truth, it's not that many around here. He's like, Ben, his son that was in high school, played sports. He was like – I think it was like one black kid in his whole high school. I said, that is incredible. That's amazing. That's crazy. So, we don't just go around his block. Like, I'm talking about like walk around. We driving miles around the community. There's no
– looking for a black person. Spot him in the wild.
Like, I saw one, I ran up to him and hugged him. How you doing? What are you doing? Are you safe?
Get your ass away from me.
So, anyway, the kids out playing. John's son and his daughter out playing with their friends. And one of the kids was looking, it was like, hey, who's that guy with your dad? I think I was maybe shooting ball by myself or something I was doing. And the kids are just bad. The kids told this one kid, the guy, I can't think of his name, though. They told him I was Jerry Rice. That's Jerry Rice. And the kid was like, no, it's not. And it was like, yes, it is. He was like, ask him to catch the ball, watch. And he's like, hey, can you throw a play catch with me? And I just went over and he threw it. I caught it. I played receiver. I caught it and I threw it back to him, And then I went back kind of like, and then they ran away like laughing and stuff. They ran away. So John comes over to me. John Morris says, listen, just go along with this. I'm like, go along with what? Well, the kids told, I can't think of the kid's name. Let's say John's son name is Ben. His daughter's Addie.
Let's call him Tanner.
Right. We're gonna call him Jeff. Okay, they told Jeff. Jeff. We're gonna use Jeff. Jeff Jeffrey. A good covers all of them. Covers everything.
All Jeff. White people want a kid named Jeff.
What's a good white kid?
That's why I said Tanner.
Tanner? Connor?
Yeah, Connor.
Quinn,
yeah.
Hayden? I can't even say Matthew.
Jared.
Yeah. I'm going with Jerry. What did I say? What was the name I said? Jeff.
Jeff.
I'm
going with Jeff. There you go. Jeff's a good one.
Right. They told Jeff.
Is G-E-O-F-F Jeff.
Yeah. That is definitely a white speller right there. You ain't right. So we're going to say his name is Jeff. The kids told Jeff with Jerry Rice, I want you to go alone. I'm like, man, you are right. You want me to go? I was like, what am I supposed to do? He was like, nothing. Just if he asks you, just say yeah. Sure enough, the kid comes up to me. Excuse me, are you Jerry Rice? And I was like, I felt so, I was like, yeah, how you know?
Oh, man.
I know, horrible.
Your soul just left you.
Left me, right. I'm like, yeah, I'm Jerry. Yeah, I said, how'd you know? They told me. You're Jerry Rice, you friends with their dad. And I was like, yeah, he's my buddy. I was just here for the Hall of Fame. He's like, could you play catch with me? And I was like, all right. So we throwing catch, and I'm catching the ball. And the kids are just over there just laughing because this kid, Jeff, got the biggest smile on his face.
How old
right?
is this kid?
We're going to put that picture up. We're going to put the picture because we right. took a picture, but we're going to put that picture up on the website when we drop this this podcast. That's what we do. We like dropping podcasts.
Yeah,
you know, like
boom.
Rap artists, like when my album dropped, when my podcast dropped, yeah, we're going to put that picture up. We took a group picture. Okay. So I'm going to say the kids range from 10, 9 maybe, 9 to 12, maybe around that age, I would say, something like that. And it probably, you know, it probably made the story more believable because this kid probably never saw any black people in the neighborhood anyway. So if he did see a black guy, it had to be somebody famous. So John's laughing. I'm over there with John. I'm like, John, you gonna owe me big for this one, dude. I was like, got me tell. He was like, well, listen, the kid's going to get his Jerry Rice football card. He wants you to sign it. I said, oh no, I am not signing, ruining some kid's card. He was like, come on, man, you gotta keep it going. So I said, look, I collect football cards. I have Jerry Rice rookie card. I have plenty. Cards. Some of them worth 25 cent Jerry Rice cards, you know, and others worth 2,500. You know,
right.
Well, if he brings me a little cheapy card, I'll sign it and then send you another card to replace it. You know, He was like, all right. So the kid runs down to his block. He comes back with this card to the kids. And he was like, I'm gonna ask him to sign it. You know, you can see him. I'm out the car. I see him like, go ahead. And John's kid, they all laughing like. Yeah, Jerry will do it. So kid comes up, and he has his card, Jerry Rice. He's like, you mind signing my card? And I'm left-handed. I was like, don't this kid know Jerry Rice is right-handed? I'm signing it with my left hand. So I signed it.
And if you've seen more than two black people in your whole life, you really don't look like Jerry Rice.
Exactly. No way. I mean, I didn't have a big beard back then. You'll see in the picture. We'll put the picture up. So I signed this kid card. Now I'm just feeling like dirt, okay? I'm like, I just signed this Jerry Rice. This kid is ecstatic. He's like, he's showing everybody, I got Jerry Rice autograph. They like, wow, laughing and stuff. So I leave and then. And then John and them, John tells me, like, they let it go on for about a month, like a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah.
They finally told him, and the kid didn't speak to them for, like, days, Josh. He was so mad.
And, like, if that kid ever finds you, he's going to beat your ass.
He's going to beat my
ass.
Because
you know he's some big strapping, you know, 20-year-old right now.
Right. And then I'm like, you look in the helmet. You can look in the helmet of the football car. I don't even look like that. I'm like, he just believed it.
He
wanted to believe. I signed Jerry Rice's name on the football card. So that was nuts, man. I said, John don't even listen to the podcast. I'm going to send him this podcast. So he's going to have to listen to this.
I have a really silly autograph story. When I played football in high school, there was this kid. I want to say his name was Matt Burns because I remember this kid. He was like a few years younger than me. And he was maybe in eighth grade or something. And me and a friend of mine, we were wearing our jerseys for high school football, you know. And he was so excited to run into us that he asked us for our autograph. And because he was just, he maybe was in eighth grade or something like that. Maybe a freshman.
Right.
And me and my friend were kind of like, okay, you know, yeah, we'll give you our autograph. you know, the kid was like super sincere. I mean, he was a nice kid and just,
right.
You know, I don't know. But I graduated from high school and, you know, went off college and never really made it back home much after that. But I remember him getting older and he was turned into a great athlete. And like, you know,
he was
in the, I think he played basketball. He could dunk. He could do like reverse dunks. I mean, you know.
Right. He's an athlete.
He was real. He wasn't like. He what?
I said he had hops.
Oh yeah, for sure. So anyway, I went back home for something and went to this basketball camp. Barry Sanders was supposed to be there, so my friends asked me to go to it, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go see Barry Sanders. You know.
Absolutely.
And this kid was there, Matt Burns was there, and it was supposed to be a basketball camp, and we played basketball and stuff. Barry Sanders never showed up, but at the end they had a dunk contest. And so, but there was, you know, it was a bunch of white kids, nobody could dunk. Except there was like probably two or three guys there that could dunk.
And oh my God, they have a dunk.
So they asked, yeah, they had a dunk contest. So they needed, you know, they need people in the dunk contest, and I'm like, well, I can try it, you know, I can get close. And so, yeah, so I did my four dunks. I missed all of them.
No shit.
Because I used to be able to, you know, I dunked it once in my life.
Get out, for real.
Yeah, wow. one time in my life. But what? This day, I couldn't do it, you know. But this kid, Matt Burns, was there, and he was doing like, he was throwing it off the backboard. Doing.
Oh, my God.
This kid could throw it off the backboard, catch it and do like a 360. Boom, throw it down.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I wanted his autograph.
But he was just some kid that was dunking, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just kind of funny that he had, you know, a few years ago he had asked me for my autograph and I actually gave it to him, you know, just because I felt bad for the kid.
Right.
Anyway, that's the end of my story. It's kind of.
Right. Well, at least you wasn't lying. At least you ain't lie with your story. I lied and said I was Jerry Rice.
Yeah, you got a fresh spot in hell for you.
That's it's a special spot in hell for people like that. You just lying. Last Jerry Rice story, when I went to his party, his retirement party, might have been that year. Might have been that year that I went to his party, his Hall of Fame party.
Mm-hmm.
I was all dressed up. We'll put that picture, me and Jerry, and we'll put the picture with the kids that I took. But I was dressed up. I'm at the party talking with all the athletes. I talked with Rod Woodson, Ricky Waters, everybody. Marcus Allen was there. Chit-chat, Merton Hanks, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lady walking around with her son, little son. I don't know who she was, but she's at the party. She has one of those footballs with the white sign. And I seen her walking all around the athletes. You know, she got Steve Young to sign it, Joe Montana to sign it. Like, I wasn't really asking for people autographs either. I was just, you know, I went up to Steve Young, shook his hand, took a picture with Steve Young. That's my favorite quarterback, lefty.
Oh,
Joe Montana, I didn't really go up to Joe. I saw Joe, we gave him the head nod and said, what's up, Joe? Shook his hand and just kept it moving. Like, Joe was kind of like, you know, don't bother me kind of. You know, he's just there to show his support, but, you know, just.
That's
but awesome. This lady was going around getting everybody's autographs. She comes up to me. Could you please sign my autograph, sir? And I was like, I would love to. I was like, I can't, though. She was like, oh, no, we're not selling it. I'm just getting it for my son right here. I just want to get something for everybody. I understand. I said, but I can't sign it, though. She was like, you sure it's just for me? I was like, I'm not a player. And she was like, you're not? Like, you're not? Like I thought all these black guys here are players, you know? I'm just a fan. No, she wasn't like that, though. But it was just, you know, I was dressed up, and I was kind of big. She just thought I was one of the players. I was like, nah. And then everybody back at the MFCA and stuff, oh, you should have signed it.
Yeah.
I was like, Frank and them is like, yeah, right. Frank Jacobs is like, you're national. You are famous. I mean, I ain't ruining that kid's football right up there. Some national. You got Ricky Waters. You got Jerry Rice. you know, National. Who the hell is that?
He's electric football and the legend.
Yeah, right. It's, he's got his own podcast. Like, that football is ruined right there. He just ruined it. Listen, getting on a TOC. One TOC event has been canceled over the outbreak. Do you think any? What's the next one up? Yeah, the Blast. I think that's in June. That should be safe, though.
Man, I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's so.
David Nichols in them, right?
Well, David Nichols gave it up. He was the Bama Blast. It's Charles Lane now.
Lane, okay.
Right, does it in Tennessee somewhere?
Okay.
So,
Chattanooga or something.
Chattanooga, I think. Yeah. So okay. The TOC is a. You think any changes are coming up? They always fiddling around with the rules and everything. I mean, I think they need to stop so much with the rules. Like every year, they want.
Yeah,
change.
Yeah. And for what? You know, for that's what? That's what I don't get. I mean.
I don't really play. I mean, I know I'm probably
I'm like a big rules guy. Like, I don't like the TOC rules, you know, personally. Uh-huh. But but I like to play. Or I like I like to watch guys play. But whatever, you know. If you change this rule or that rule, it's not going to really change. It's not going to impact much.
Oh, right.
You know, just get together and play.
They change. You know why they change? They get forced into. They get their hands forced by people that want. Their league rule in the TOC.
Right. No.
And it's not about that. I mean, if you play in one league, why would you want your league rule in a national tournament? I mean, it's just to say that that's our rule and we got that rule.
I know like Ohio Valley, first of all, they just say we're playing by the TOC rules. First of all, just to keep it simple.
Yes.
I'm down with that. I think that's a great idea. And then
I get down with that. Get
down with that.
Yeah, get down with that.
And then they want to, like, you know, master that rule set. Like, you know, you get familiar with
it. Yeah, I got that.
It's confusing. You know, I thought I could do a pitch out here when I can't, you know, or whatever. You know, quarterback option, my league doesn't have that. Or front of base tackle, you know, whatever. All these different rules. But... I mean, I understand, like, I like some rules and I don't like others, but it doesn't really matter, you know? Like, just say the onside kicks. Well, it's not really fair that the defense doesn't have a chance, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a dumb argument because the other coach is playing by the same rules.
Same rules, right.
You know? So get your team ready for whatever the rules are and show up and play. Trust me, the good players are going to win more than the bad players. The rules change.
Right.
It's not going to
impact I think they have a 2 or 3 year window with the rules to stay the way they are before you go changing something to give somebody – it seems like every year they go back and they're tinkering with it. And it's just getting out of hand. And then you start getting guys that, well, we change that. And we don't do that no more.
Right.
Stick with something for 2-3 years.
To me, I mean, I don't think this is a big a deal to anybody else, but for me, a lot of the rules, the way they're written, are super unclear. And then so they're just open for arguments.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
The rules are. Just make them written down clear so that everybody can understand, and that's not an issue. Yeah. So you can get on with playing, you know?
Yeah. The wording. Yeah. That's why the Philly League had Joe Greco and Andrew Stewart fine-tooth. They went through with a fine-tooth comb and just got all of the verbiage corrected.
Right. Because you don't want to be hung up on that stuff. Like, I'll give you an example. They put in a rule in the TOC, and not taking away anything from all the TOC guys. You got this awesome, the TOC tournament. All the guys, they know they put in, you know, some work, a lot of work to get that tournament, especially the guys that are hosting, like Darrell or Charles Lane, whatever. Hats off to you guys. But, for example, they have a rule in there, well, the cover corner can't have their hands in this position or whatever.
Well, mm-hmm.
But there's no where in the rules where it defines what a cover corner is. So, like, what if I line my cover corner up over the tight end? Or what if I line my cover, you know, he's my cover corner. Yeah. You know, and all of a sudden...
I never heard that one. Well, I think once everybody fit through that gauntlet, Yeah, once you, they have that little box that every player has to go in if they're kind of disformed. Like, as long as they can fit in there.
Like, defense is free form. You guys can go anywhere. So there shouldn't be any, like, rules pertaining to cover corners or any position on defense, you know?
Yeah, it shouldn't be nothing.
That's just one example of where I thought, you're making it unclear, you're making it confusing. Yeah, you're making it unclear, you're making it confusing. Don't
because
do that.
I was I was under the assumption that once a player went in that little box and he's clear, he's not too, arms aren't too far forward, arms aren't too far outside his body or over his head, he can go, he can play.
Yeah.
He can play.
Yeah. Right. So, no, that's the way it should be, but.
Yeah, it has something written in the rules. But, I just think they're tinkering with the rules too much, and they need to get away from that. I know Dr. Bob is coming up with this college thing that looks like a
pretty good deal. The coronavirus is putting a damper on it, I'm sure. But I think it's fantastic. I would love to have him on. And
we got to get Dr. Bob on the next time, and so he can go over it. I mean, stats. I think stats is a big thing with it, and that adds another
a layer of intrigue.
Intrigue to it because you could be out of the running for a playoff spot, but you got a guy that's in the top lead in rusher thing. So it'll give you something else to shoot for and to want to finish your games.
Right.
So I think TLC might need to do something like that just to lather it up a little bit. TLC, I think they need to do something. They need to come up with it to instead of just changing a rule, tinkering a rule to – so let's include Detroit League. Let's include the Ohio League or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not giving them any. I'm not giving them any advice. I mean, I think they do a great job, and I like.
Oh, I would. I'm the fault.
I'll leave that to you. I'm a big fan. I mean, I like watching the same.
Well, I am too.
I like watching the same seven or eight guys show up for all the time. No, I'm just complaining.
Watching Kelly and Rafiq battle it out for the 100th. Yeah. No, I mean, it probably won't change who's in it, but just, maybe add some kind of pizzazz, maybe the stats or something. Yeah. We'll see what we can do. We'll talk to Brian Phillips and Darrell and all those guys. So I used to be in that board. I got away from it because I wasn't playing, and I just had to step away from all of it. The Philly League.
Wow, people. Times changed.
Right. Well, the Rona didn't shut it down anyway. So right. I mean, everything 2020 is different. I think they're going to make that announcement, Steve Toff and Kenny. They're going to probably cancel this season out. I mean, it's already, end of March. You're going, I mean, just cancel it. Yeah. I think Darrell made the right call. He canceled it. Yeah. Well, it wasn't the right call. It was the only call. He couldn't have 10 more people.
Against the rules.
The hotel wouldn't let him. Right. So,
because he was right up to the end, he was planning on having it.
He was. I was telling him, I'm like, Darrell, dude, you can't. He was like, no, we're going to go forward. I was like, God bless you, man. I was like, then he came in, he's like, man, the mayor then shut it. I'm like, dude. Yeah. He was going for it, P-Double, man. It was funny.
I understand, man. I didn't want
to. Oh, yeah. It was a big year. It was his 20th year.
Yeah.
And you can't change it. I mean, if you change the date to go now, then you kind of stepping on the toes of the river thing, the Charles Lane thing. I think it's just going to be off for this year. So he'll be back in 2020.
I think the College Bowl series that Dr. Bob put on, it's just an awesome idea, and I love it. But it's too bad it happened right when all this went down too.
So it would have started by now then, right?
Yeah, no, they're in the middle of it, and some people are still playing games from time to time.
Oh, maybe okay.
So,
wow.
So there's a website. I'll put that up on this one too. There's a website for it. You can go in. You can see all the stats. You can see the standings.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I really like it. I mean, it's.
And he had all the dates for the championship and everything.
Yeah,
all the bowls.
He's got the dates for the championship. I was going to go out there with Gridiron Buzz and call some games.
Where was it? Where was it?
End of June in Dallas.
Wow.
But
yeah, I didn't see that.
I mean, I don't know.
What's that's it, right? It might get held up, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't want to say anything wrong about it, so we don't want to provide the wrong information.
We'll get Dr. Bob on the next podcast, and he could clear it up. So I think we did everything on our list, Pete.
We hit them all. We hit them all.
I think we hit them all, dude. I wrote it down today. I wrote it down because it was a big show, and I didn't want to miss no.
You don't want to get sidetracked on some rant about how you're the FOF.
Yeah, that was bad. I was drinking. I was. I tell you what, it wasn't that bad. Hulk didn't call me up. You know, Brian Phillips didn't text me or nothing. Nobody said, "Hey, dude, what the hell are you talking about?" You know. Now that could mean two different things. I could mean, you know, so nobody listened to it to call me and be mad, or everybody heard it and it wasn't that bad and I didn't get it. So.
I think Hulk gave us some love on Facebook or something like that.
Good. Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't that bad. I was just putting it in perspective, you know. I was being real pacific about it. Pacific.
I was being Atlantic about it. All right. I do believe Listen, that's a show.
Dude, I think that's it. PW, you are awesome, dude. I don't know what I'd do without you. Kitchen, you can take us home, baby.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnationshow.com.